How many glad you're here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, preacher, again, for allowing us to be here. And we certainly will not take much time. We want to give Dr. Sisk as much time as he would possibly need. We just appreciate the opportunity. Do you have your Bibles tonight?
Amen.
All right. Turn to the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Now, I'm fine without it. Are you using, preacher, are you using the microphone? Yay or nay? Hey, it don't matter. I'm not out there. I'm back here. As long as I don't spit. Okay. As long as I don't whisper, right? Okay. All right. All right. All right. One, two. Are we on? Okay. I won't need it. I don't know if you might be recording, but again, thank you so much for being here. The book of Matthew. And I want you to go ahead and turn with me to chapter number 12, if you would, please. I was torn between really two different messages. I really trust that it'd be an encouragement to you. How many need? Now, we need truth, but we can get encouragement through. That's where real encouragement is. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And real encouragement comes from the Word of the living God. And I'm glad that we can find hope and we can find encouragement in our blessed Savior. He is the great I Am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Alpha Omega. Thank God. He is the beginning and the end. And He is that lovely rose of Sharon and that sweet lily in the valley. Aren't you glad for that? Look at this. Just a couple of verses here. You know them well. Matthew chapter number 12. And I want you to look, if you would please, at verse number 18 and verse number 19. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 18, He said, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul, I like this, don't you, is well pleased. Who do you think he's talking about right there, church? He's talking about that blessed Savior, isn't he?
Yes.
The Bible says, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets.
Hey.
A bruised reed, I like this, shall he not break. And smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. I've told our church, I like sports. I like playing sports. I like watching some sports. I like seeing when there's times where what is known as the underdog. It seems like throughout the course of the game that he's getting himself tore all to pieces. He's embarrassing himself, or the team is embarrassing themselves. But the clock had not struck zero yet. I like it when I watch it, when it seems like things aren't going too well for the team. I like it when every once in a while there's a timeout taken. And those old boys that were just being ripped to shreds looked like they were dead on their feet, sucking wind, come out of that timeout, and they look like a different team. And lo and behold, towards the end, I mean about three quarters away, it seemed like all hope is lost. But right towards the end, things start turning around. And when the clock strikes zero, the crowd is in stunned silence because they cannot believe what they saw before their very eyes. The underdog, the one that had no chance, came out the victor. May I say to you tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's a lot of bad things are going on. Can I hear an amen? You don't have to spend much time watching the news, and what little time you do, it's depressing, it's discouraging to see what is going on in our world today. And a lot of people think that the church and you are the problem, the cause for it all. We are considered the losers, the underdogs, the problems. We are considered the all-scouring. We're considered nobodies. But the clock hasn't struck zero yet. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, we had the final record, and we know how this thing's going to turn out when it's all said and done.
Amen.
With that being said, I want to talk about these few verses here in the next few minutes. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to your hearts. I want you to notice something first of all. In the first verse we read, in verse number 18, I want us to take just a moment tonight to behold the servant Savior. How many glad you have a Savior tonight? We know who he is. Savior's not washing it. He's saying, aren't you glad for that? Well, we'd be in a heap of trouble. Hey, I thank God for the local church. I thank God for Faith Baptist Church. I thank God for the churches represented here. But the hope is not in just the church itself, but the hope is in the God of the church. And I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can hold our heads high in turbulent times. We know that we have a God and we have a Savior who is a able yet to save. I want you to notice verse number 18. Look at it. The Bible says, behold my servant whom I have chosen. God the Father is speaking of none other than his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there was no one else, you know, and I do, there is none other that could have come to this world to bleed and suffer and die and give his life a ransom for the sins of all mankind. It was going to take a perfect man, and there was no perfect man. It was going to take God, and there is but only one God. But I'm glad there some 2,000 years ago, there as a little babe there in Bethlehem, born of that Virgin Mary, God sent forth his only begotten Son to the world, that chosen one before the foundations of the world, to come to a sin-cursed world and to live a holy, a perfect life, and then to give his life's blood a ransom for somebody like you and me. He was chosen by the Father. I want you to notice also, he was cherished by the Father. Now my Bible tells me, and I want you to think about it, and we'll move hurriedly on. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Is that what the Bible says? God loves the world, however, does he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? How can we reconcile those two? Well, God sent forth his dearly beloved Son. Remember there when he was being baptized of John the Baptist, there came a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved, my much loved Son, in whom I like this, in whom I am well pleased. You say, why is God angry? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got three precious children. They're not children anymore. They're about grown, but they're still mine. I love them. Brother Owen, I love my kids. I love my wife. I love my kids dearly. Can you imagine if one of my children was to willingly have given his life for the cause of other bunch of heathen ungodlies, but yet I had a child that was willing, if possible, to pay a price for them so that they could be set free. But yet those in which my precious child willingly suffered for and was made a mockery of, and beat around and murdered before them, but yet the masses mocked and spit and yet still scored him. You're talking about someone in my imperfect state that would be an angry father. Why is God angry with the wicked? Because he gave forth the most precious possession, the most precious prize, the prince, the pearl of glory, to come down to this sin-cursed world, to be smitten, to be stricken, and to have to be rejected by God there at Calvary, so that somebody like you and me could have forgiveness, but yet to see the world spit and mock, yet steal, and to curse him, shake their fist at him. Yes, God is angry with the wicked because of his love for his Son. We see that he has chosen the Father, cherished by the Father. Right here in the verse, we see that he was pleasing to the Father. Where do you see that? He calls him his servant. His servant. You and I are called to be servants of God now that we're saved, right? But Jesus Christ was referred to here in the text as the Father's servant. There for 33 and a third years, he was in absolute, total, perfect obedience in every minute detail. He was tempted, ladies and gentlemen, at every point like we are. Yet, he was dependent upon the power of the Spirit of God, and he did not sin. Thank God for that. He was loved of God, but he was the perfect servant of God. And then we see this. Notice the sad thing, completely ignored by the multitudes. Look at your Bible quickly. I've got to move. Verse number 19. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Boy, we're there today, aren't we? Thank God for you. Thank God for those that will listen. But we know by and large the world is anti-God. They're certainly anti-Christ, aren't they? Though I do not believe the Antichrist has ridden out, and he's going to. He may be alive today. He hadn't ridden out, right? But the spirit of Antichrist is very much present in this world. Notice this servant Savior. I've got in my notes here, though he was ignored by the multitudes, I'm glad, Dr. Sisk, he doesn't ignore me. We look around all across our world. There on New Year's Eve, they're gathered around the ball and they're partying, crying, a new year in and mocking God. But I'm glad, though the masses are mocking, I like it. We get together and we have watch night service on New Year's Eve. Now, though the world is mocking him, yet he still is wanting to hear from somebody like me. He doesn't turn his ear to somebody like me. I'm a nobody in the world's eyes, but I'm glad that the God who created all things loves to hear my voice. He loves to hear my praise. He loves me turning to him, and he loves you. Now, let me turn quickly to the main thought in the next few minutes. We've looked at the servant Savior, but I want you to look first of all at the suffering subjects. Look at verse 20. It sees a turn here in verse number 20. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Interesting thing about reeds, as you study Bible time, Bible lands, the reed was a very, very common plant. Anywhere where there was body of water, rivers, they would spring up very easily. Very common. But also something very common about these reeds, they would grow quite high, but didn't take much of a storm to bend it low. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? How many here are saved by the good grace of God?
Amen.
But how many of you still in bodies? If you're not, I'm out of here. I better be looking at some people in some bodies or somebody's going to leave real quick, right? What's the point? He said, a bruised reed. Brother Owen, though I love God, God's been so good to me. He saved my soul from hell. Thank God for the mountaintops that he's given me. Thank God for the times we can shout it out. Thank God when we can rejoice and always have a smile on our face and sing songs, and it's just flowing in our hearts, and oh, we're just thrilled to no end.
Amen, sir.
It's not always like that. I've got news for you. Sometimes you see preachers, and sometimes they're able to hide it really good. They get in the pulpit, and sometimes some of them are able to just put on that face like they're always on the mountaintop, that there's never a heartache, there's never a trial, there's never a down moment in their life. They've never hit rock bottom. But I've got news for you. They are the same flesh that you are, and we hurt, and there's heartaches, and there's discouragements, there's disappointments. But I'm glad that when this old reed is bruised by the winds of life, I'm glad that I've got a God that don't come and look at me and stamp me out and break me and toss me to the side. I'm glad the Bible says a bruised reed he will not break. Thank God for that. You see, the masses, as they saw those reeds, it was not uncommon to see bruised reeds They saw them all the time. Whenever there was a wind, all they had to do was go to that body of water, and they were everywhere. And there are broken and hurting people everywhere. I don't know about you. Thank God for our dear church. And I know, preacher, you love your church. But I promise you, without knowing most of them, you've got people right here in this church that are bruised.
Yes, sir.
They're hurt. Dr. Sis, I promise you, you've been in ministry so many more years than I have. And I know God's blessed your church. But I can promise you, and you know it well, you've got people in your church that circumstances, problems, storms have bent them low.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's great to be able to hold our head high, but sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, this life, it's hard humanly to hold your head and smile all the time. And you see the world, when they see those masses, and in the Middle East, when they would see those reeds, they would just toss them to the side. I mean, there's another one just like them, just a nobody, just one of many. But aren't you glad that one bruised reed in the eyes of Almighty God gets his attention?
Amen.
You say, preacher, does God know when I'm hurting? Preacher, does God know when my heart's about to burst? Does God know what I feel when I don't even know what to say? Does God even care? Does God not see me? God, look at what I'm going through. God, will you pay attention to me? I'm down here and I'm going through it, and it doesn't seem like anybody even notices.
Right, Richard. Good.
Thank God. Bruce Reed, he will not break. You see, I didn't know this, but preacher, did you know that even in its bruised state, there's a marvelous purpose for those reeds? They say those reeds can be cut and made into some most wonderful flutes that you've ever heard, and make some of the most melodious music you've ever heard in your life. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know, on this Jubilee night, we're here to exalt the Lord, but we're here to get help, aren't we? Oh, you're broken inside. Maybe you feel like quitting, throwing your hands up. You say, preacher, have you ever felt like that in your life? Oh, yeah, I sure have. And every time this old reed's been over, and preacher, about ready to break, I'm glad that there's a hand beneath me. I'm glad there's a hand, and I can't hit rock bottom without being in his hand. I'm glad by his power, by his love, and by his mercy, he doesn't look down on me and say, look at where you're at. Look what a mess you've made. Look how sorry you are. You're a no good son. I'm glad he doesn't do that. But I'm glad when I'm hurt and I'm broken, the God of all creation, the Lord of all, that sweet, sweet, sweet Savior lifts me up. And he's got a purpose for me still. You say, preacher, what does God want to do at Faith Baptist Church? What does God want to do in your life? Say, preacher, I'm bent over. I'm about ready to break. God's want to make a flute out of you and sing a song for his glory still.
Amen.
A bruised reed, will it not break? Look at the next thing and we'll close. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And we talked about that bruised reed. A lot of times those are results of circumstances, the storms of life that we don't have control over. But there's some things that we allow in our lives that's nobody's fault but mine. I'll admit to you tonight that my level of faith in the perfect Lamb of God is not always what it should be.
You're right. Absolutely.
You say, preacher, I'm on the mountaintop. I've never had a doubt in my life. I have never once. Then please, would you take me aside after the service and pray for me? Because there's been times in my life I have.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And it ain't God's fault. Not one time was it God's fault that my faith faltered. You see, for there to be smoke, there had to at some time had to have been a fire.
Yes, sir.
The potential for fire. But through some things that we allow in our life, sometimes that fire begins to go to a flicker. And then little more than smoke. I don't know about you, but smoke can really be an irritant. Smoke can be an irritant, but smoke can hinder others from seeing light.
Right.
When we are on this, do we want to get help tonight?
Amen. Good.
How many would agree that sometimes our lack of faith in God poses a stumbling block to others seeing the light of the glorious gospel?
Well, that's great. That is great.
Does it grieve the Holy Spirit of God within me? Sure it does. Does it grieve my blessed Savior who loved me and gave himself for me? It grieves him. But I'm glad I'm still his son. You know what a lot of people would say? You know, look at that flax. There's no value to it. It was not any great value to begin with. Now it's nothing but a charred mess. Nothing in which just smoke is emanating from. Let's just take it and toss it aside. It has no value at all. But I'm glad we have a Savior, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
That even when my faith has faltered, when I've lost that fervor and we need, hey, how many believe that God deserves it? How many believe the local church deserves it? And how many believe this world needs it?
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to get too far off track, but we see people get all excited about all kind of junk and sporting events, and they hoop and holler, and they are true fanatics. They're nuts, but they see people that have our sins forgiven, have a home waiting for us in heaven, and can't give a holy grunt sometimes. But here we are, and they see us so many times, and our lips hanging on the ground. We just can't hardly make it. And the world sees that and they said, if that's what it's going to do for you, I'm already having enough trouble. I don't need that. And sometimes our lack of faith poses a stumbling block.
Yes, sir.
What does God do for us, though? Preacher, I'm glad he doesn't stamp me out.
Right.
Oh, there's so many times that I just got cold on him.
Yes, sir.
But I'm glad he didn't toss me to the side. The Bible says a smoking flax shall he not what? Quench. You know what God wants to do for us right now? On this Tuesday evening, you see where there's smoke, there has been most likely a flame. There's probably still a little flicker. You know what God wants to do for us tonight? The preacher's going to get ready to come up here in a few minutes, and he's going to be thundering whatever God's giving. You know what God's wanting to do? God, through the power of His Spirit of God, He wants to fan that little flicker again. Said, I know you've been full of smoke. I know you haven't been fervent like you ought to, but that was yesterday. This is where I want you at today. I forgive you. Go out of here with a song of heaven in your heart. Come out of here with your sins forgiven, your heart back in fellowship with God. You can't change yesterday, but you can go out to the job tomorrow, preacher, a different person, and make a difference, and knowing that you're back in fellowship with God. Aren't you
Amen.
Glad He does not stamp us out? Watch this, and we're done. The Bible says the last portion, till He send forth judgment. I like these last two words. Unto what?
Victory.
It ain't over yet.
That's right.
We said before, I'm not by any means all that I should be.
Amen.
That's my fault. Thank God, though, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
But you look here. I can promise you, on the authority of Almighty God, I can promise you I'm nothing like I'm going to get to be.
Amen.
For the Bible says we're going to see Him. The one who redeemed us, purchased us with His own blood. I read these verses to you in Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. I like this, don't you? And God, I'm glad he's a-doing it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I like this. And there shall be no more death. There shall be no sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be, hey folks, any more pain. Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, for the former things are passed away. I'm going to stop right there. Preacher, I believe you believe the same thing, but I believe when God wipes away the tears from our eyes, this is what I believe. All those heartaches, all those sorrows, even all those failures on our part, God is not only going to wipe the tears, but he's going to erase the memory. So the only thing that we've got going into eternity, brother, is to worship and praise the Lamb of God. Aren't you glad that even though you're bruised now, even though you may be a smoking flax, aren't you glad one day you're going to be a singing hallelujah to the Lamb of God? It ain't over yet.
Amen.
The clock's getting ready to strike zero.
Yes, sir.
But we can take courage, because when it does, no matter what it seems the score might be right now,
amen,
we know who gets the victory.
Amen.
Are you broken?
Praise.
Are you bruised?
Good.
Maybe you're here tonight and you said, man, I can't take another minute. Maybe bodily, you said, what could God do with me? I can't even hardly get out of bed. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to toss it aside, get defeated, and even get bitter with God. But aren't you glad that the God of heaven doesn't want that for you? The God of heaven wants to lift you up. He's still got a song to play through your life. Maybe your faith isn't what it ought to be. Maybe you're cold and indifferent from God. God's will is not for you to remain that way. It's God's will for you to come clean, give it to him, and just rejoice in the fact that though the world may snuff you out, he never will.
Amen.
Father, thank you for letting us preach tonight. And Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, you'll take these simple words. Lord, encourage people's hearts.
Yes.
Lord, maybe there's people that are just broken. God, encourage them tonight. They need your help. Lord, there's preachers here. God, they need your help. They need your touch. They need your strength. God, do it. Bless Dr. Sisk as he gets ready to preach. Lord, touch him. Empower him in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you.